Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Before we read scripture together, I want to take just a moment to tell you one of the places in which I see God at work in the life of Forest Lake Presbyterian Church. I am grateful to be part of a family of faith that is willing to set aside a Sunday to serve as Earth Sunday, to take seriously God's claim on us as stewards of the creation that God has made. And I think that this congregation, you know that Earth Sunday doesn't happen everywhere, right? So I'm grateful to be a part of that. But I also recognize that I am the heir of a lot of behind-the-scenes work. We are all the heir of lots of work and persistence on the part of a few folks of this congregation who have cultivated in us an appreciation for stewardship of God's creation. And I want to say a special word of thanks today to Lee Pippin. Now, I know she was downstairs, and I don't know that she will make it up. Her primary objectives were to make sure that all of the exhibitors got in and set up and back out, and then she's going to still be straw boss over the planting. So I have every expectation that the Lord will hold the thunderstorms off because Lee is in charge. But look, was it better than a year ago now? Lee received a cancer diagnosis that would have knocked a lesser woman flat, but not Lee. She is the mind behind the curtain, and from her easy chair and her laptop, she has continued to coordinate and encourage and teach all of us as we grow into what it means to be stewards of God's creation. And so I just want to give thanks to God for the fruit of Lee's work and give thanks to God for Lee and her persistence and all of her many minions that I see scattered out in the congregation, the folks who work on our behalf. And so if you see Lee, both tell her thank you for what you do, and then also remember to say a prayer of thanks to God for her. Let's pray. Holy God, indeed, every good and perfect gift comes from you. Help us to tune in so that we might attend to those gifts, receive them, welcome them, and allow them to mold us and to change us so that we might be changed into people who give you glory, who sing your praises, who live lives of thanksgiving. In Christ's name, I pray. Amen. I want to begin this morning with a verse that I come back to pretty regularly when I think about stewardship of God's creation. It comes from the prophet Ezekiel, and it is actually, it's a word of judgment that the prophet Ezekiel speaks to people of God. So he's not talking to folks unlike us. He's talking to us, those of us who claim God as Lord. And he's saying, be careful how you live. And he says it this way, this word of judgment. Ezekiel for the Lord says, as for you, my flock, thus says the Lord God, I shall judge between sheep and sheep, between rams and goats. Is it not enough for you to feed on the good pasture, but you must tread down with your feet the rest of your pasture? When you drink of clear water, must you foul the rest with your feet? And must my sheep eat what you have trodden with your feet and drink what you have fouled with your feet? Therefore, thus says the Lord God to them, I myself will judge between fat sheep and the lean sheep. Because you have pushed with the flank and shoulder and butted at all the weak animals with your horns until you scattered them far and wide. I will save my flock, and they shall no longer be ravaged, and I will judge between sheep and sheep. And then also this morning from Matthew's Gospel, from the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus' words to us, reminding us of the beauty of creation and talking about our relationship with that creation and with the one who made it. Jesus said, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to to your span of life. Why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear? For it is the Gentiles who strive for all these things. And indeed your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. I think it was a year before I came to be the senior pastor at Forest Lake Presbyterian Church that this congregation first organized what they called the Environmental Stewardship Committee. Yeah, you know we're Presbyterian, right? So everything has to happen with a committee. So they organized a committee that was, in fact, the formalization of what had been growing in this congregation even before that, this environmental conscience and this recognition that how we live in and care for the world is in fact a spiritual discipline. And that had been growing, so then about probably 2005, there was this formation of this Environmental Stewardship Committee. So I'm thinking that it was either the spring of 2005 or the spring of 2006 that Forest Lake Presbyterian Church observed its first organized Earth Sunday celebration. That's a pretty long time. Now, to be honest, there was conversation at first about whether or not this was an appropriate focus for a service of worship. But the faithfulness and the persistence of all of those who believed in the importance of environmental stewardship has, in those intervening 13, 14 years, cultivated in all of us this belief and this understanding that caring for the earth that God has made and given into our hands for tending is an absolutely right focus for the worship of God and, in fact, a focus for our lives as followers of Jesus. So every single Earth Sunday since that first one, 2005-2006, the Environmental Stewardship Committee has picked one particular aspect of environmental stewardship on which to focus. And so this year, they chose eco-justice. And while I'll admit that I don't at least use eco-justice in sentences on a regular basis, you may, I don't, it's not by any stretch a new idea. Eco-justice means that we acknowledge that we must share and care for God's creation with everyone and everything that God has made. In other words, eco-justice isn't some brand new buzzword or some politically correct idea. Eco-justice is, in fact, a common sense, faith-based idea that the earth does not serve our needs, but in fact, we were created to serve God's needs, and God needs us to care for the planet and for all that inhabits the planet. Now, Jesus told us not to worry about our lives, what we'll eat, what we'll drink, what we'll wear. Instead of worry, Jesus said, look at the flowers. Look at the birds. Notice how the Creator provides for them and trust that God will do the same for us. So instead of worrying first about how much we can get, worry first about seeking and serving God's purposes in the world or God's kingdom. So we're not to worry about what we eat, what we wear, what we drink, but everything we eat, drink, wear, or do either serves God's purposes or not. And it's that understanding from what Jesus says that's actually prefigured by what the prophet Ezekiel says way back in the Old Testament. When Ezekiel chastises the people of God for pushing and shoving and taking whatever they can get in such a way that the pasture and the stream are unfit to feed or to water any sheep that come after them. people who serve God, as I read scripture, are to be marked by a mindfulness of those who come after us, and a mindfulness of how our living affects those downstream from us, literally and figuratively. And that, in scriptural terms, that is the definition of eco-justice. So for every Earth Sunday celebration that I can remember, and today was no exception downstairs during Sunday school, the Gills Creek Watershed Organization has come and had a display. And they have always brought information about how to join and support the watershed and what a watershed is. And they always bring with them this watershed model. It's a 3D topographical map. You probably, some of you saw it downstairs. And it reminds us of what we learned. I don't know, when do you learn about the water cycle? Third grade, something like that, maybe? So in third grade, we learned that creeks flow into rivers, and rivers flow into the ocean, and the sun evaporates the water into the clouds, and then it rains, and it starts all over again, right? So they remind us of that order of creation, and then they let you squeeze paint or dye into one of the creeks, right? And you get a chance to actually watch how the dye, the paint, goes from the creek to the river to the ocean. You get the idea. It's a simple reminder from the order of creation of a basic faith directive. People who serve God are supposed to be mindful of those who come after us, mindful of how our living affects those who live downstream from us, literally and figuratively. Eco-justice. And if that's so, then in our world, people of faith have to admit that we have not always lived mindful of those downstream from us. We've not. People of faith have to recognize that we have pushed with the flank and butted with the shoulder and pushed away the weak animals with our horns until they're scattered. And you know what? We know that because we have not lived mindful of the downstream. You know how we know? We know that lots of ways, don't we? We know it because poor communities bear the brunt of environmental pollution. What comes into the creek, goes into the river, goes into the stream, goes into the ocean. We know that that's so because wealthy communities protect their beachfront property at the expense of those who cannot afford to do so. We know that's true. Because the fertilizers and oils that get either poured into drains or washed into storm drains foul the water for all of our downstream neighbors, human, animal, fish, fowl. In fact, we know that's true because in South Carolina, we are so collectively unconcerned with the downstream that there are times when it is not safe for us to swim in the water off of our own beaches. And wealthy countries produce waste that makes life in poorer countries miserable and dangerous. Too often and for too long, we've lived not being mindful of the downstream. And eco-justice means that we have come to the point where we are willing to look at ourselves with clear eyes and acknowledge that what we buy and what we throw away, what we hoard, and how we secure ourselves has real consequences for those who live downstream. Our faith requires that we shift our focus from being only on what we need and want and can get to a focus on what our living does to those around us, those who come after us, those who live downstream from us. And in that way, then, eco-justice becomes a non-negotiable spiritual discipline or faith practice. I think that today offers us the chance to consider the opportunity and to think about ways in which we might practice our faith in such a way that we can live in coherence with Jesus' directive in Matthew 5, live in such a way that we begin to notice where we're ruining pasture and fouling water for those who come after us. Now, we know that we're not alone. I mean, we by ourselves, even we as a whole congregation, cannot fix all of the flattened pasture. We can't fix all the muddy water by ourselves. And some of what needs fixing is much bigger than that. It's much more systemic. Now, it could be that some of us here today might be called to work on that bigger picture, to fix some of the systemic pieces that victimize those who live downstream from us. But even if that's not you, or you're not sure if that's you, let me say this. All of us are called by faith to examine our own daily lives, to examine our own practices, and to consider what it means for you and for me today, tomorrow, and the next day that eco-justice is a spiritual discipline. And when I think about it that way, when I think about eco-justice as a spiritual discipline, then I think about the story of my own education or growth in this particular faith practice. I am grateful that Karen Webster is here with us this weekend. And if you don't know Karen, then that may mean that you don't remember Travis Webster. Karen and Travis were here with us for 6 years. Travis served as our associate pastor, and by wonderful default, we also got Karen when Travis was here. And Travis and Karen brought with them a much more well-developed and more mature understanding of what it means to live mindful of the downstream than I had, and I would venture to say than I have. I remember like yesterday, the first time Travis and I went out to eat lunch in a restaurant someplace, and when the waitress brought our drinks, Travis turned to the waitress very quietly and said, no straw. The giving of straws is so automatic, there were already six on the table. And so it sort of stopped us both, and she stopped and picked up most of the straws. But of course, that didn't stop me. So as I'm peeling the plastic cover off of my plastic straw, and I plunk it into my drink, and I say, why no straw? And I don't remember exactly what Travis said, but it's something like, you know what, I don't really need a straw, and the plastic is going to last a lot longer in the landfill than probably I will last, and definitely longer than the 30 minutes it's going to take me to drink this drink. So that straw could outlive me for no real purpose. You know. So it turns out it's true. A plastic straw takes years to degrade. And what I've learned since that initial encounter with Travis is that even when a plastic straw degrades, it breaks into all sorts of little tiny microscopic pieces of plastic that find their way then into the food chain. We're finding these microscopic pieces of plastic in all kinds of odd places, and we don't know entirely what the future unforeseen consequences, what happens downstream from that straw that I use so mindlessly. Now, I don't promise you that I don't use straws, because I do. But more and more often, I refuse them. And every time I use one, I think about that lesson. It was, for me, a beautiful example of what it looks like to live mindfully as a spiritual discipline. You know what? And Karen, you can tell him this. Travis did not condemn me. He did not preach to me. He did not stare judgmentally at me as I peeled the plastic cover off of my plastic straw and slurped out of it. He simply witnessed to what he believed was one very small thing that he could do to live out his faith. And in that witness, he helped me to see myself and my practices in a different way. So, you know what, not using one straw is not going to have a measurable effect on the plastic trash that now floats in those collective trash oceans. I think there are now 5 of them. But I will tell you this, not using a plastic straw will remind me every time of how my lifestyle either focuses on care of God's creation or not. That's the value in not using a straw. And you know what? For me, the same thing happens whenever I use a reusable bag for my groceries or other purchases. I do take some pride, I will claim it, in not using, trying to limit or not use those those disposable plastic bags. And I am proud to be part of a congregation that sends visitors packets of information in a reusable shopping bag. And then when you join, you get a little tiny bag that you can actually, if you don't have one of these, you can buy one through the church office, I think $5. It opens up into the likeness of a plastic bag, but then you stick it in your pocketbook or in your car and you use that every time I do, remembering what my faith is about and practicing it. So more important than the pride, though, is that practice. Daily, small ways that help me grow in my awareness of how I preserve the creation, the beauty of creation, for those who come after me, for those who live downstream. So today is a day in which we challenge one another to look up and give thanks to the God who created us and the world, and then to look downstream from where we live and evaluate how we might do a better job of flattening less pasture and muddying less water. I don't know what that looks like for you. It could be a lot of things. Maybe our spiritual discipline is foregoing straws. Maybe our spiritual discipline is refusing disposable plastic bags. Maybe our spiritual discipline is carrying a reusable water bottle instead of purchasing another throwaway one. Maybe our spiritual discipline is refusing to pour oil or leftover chemicals down the storm drain or down our kitchen drains. Maybe our spiritual discipline is using fewer or no pesticides, or maybe even it's choosing not to have someone spray to do away with all of the mosquitoes because we might hurt beneficial pollinators. Maybe our spiritual discipline is choosing to recycle something that might very easily be thrown away. Maybe our spiritual discipline is beginning a compost pile. Whatever it is, small or large, maybe it's joining in the fight to help a poorer community recover from the flooding that was caused in part by the mindlessness of the richer community upstream. Maybe it is thinking twice. That is our spiritual discipline. Whatever it is, I encourage you to think of it as practicing what it looks like to live mindful of those downstream. And truthfully, living mindful of the downstream, that's not just a principle that applies to environmental stewardship. It can be applied to almost every area of our lives. Next Sunday, one of the other things that we do in worship at Forest Lake is we talk about Will's emphasis. And we're going to do that next week. So next Sunday, we'll talk about how we make plans for what we have accumulated in our estates so that what we have accumulated will not only care for our families, but will witness to our faith. It's planning for our estates, mindful of the downstream. So if God created it all, human beings in charge of caring for each other and for the world that God has made, then the time has come for us to be better at living, more mindful in our living, so that those who come after us, those who live downstream from us, either literally or figuratively, that one day they will give thanks to God for our faithfulness. That's the goal.